Welcome to Cider Chat and this special edition of Cider Chat Live, bringing to you news from out and about in Ciderville in real time. Hello, my name is Rhea Windcaller, and I am the producer and cider MC at Cider Chat. And this week, I am bringing to you this news about New York Apple Camp and a bit more, because I just can't wait for another week to come by to roll out an episode. And you know that I've been rolling out episodes now coming down from Vermont. Yes, straight down from Vermont right before those floodwaters, have been kind of hitting that beautiful state in a hell of a way, and also all of the Northeast. So we'll be talking a little bit about that, and then I want to be sharing with you a conversation I had with the producer of next week's event called New York Apple Camp, and I have a little bit more to share too. So hang on to your glass. I hope it is filled with a wee bit of cider, because I have some news out and about in Ciderville for you in real time. Cider Chat is listener supported, so if you're getting value from this podcast, do consider becoming a patron today. So big shout out to all those fine patrons over at the Cider Chat Patreon page. You can find the links all at ciderchat.com. But we also have sponsors too, and one is called Fermentis. They are curators of yeast cultures, and more recently, they have added to their complement. Originally, they only had one yeast specific for cider. Now, they have other yeasts, too, that you could use and play with, because I know I have. I've used their Saison yeast, and that would typically be for a beer, but back in the day, I was making like a Saison profile to my cider, and it was great. It was delicious, but now that they have cider-specific yeast, I've been trying those, and I've been hearing from folks, and they're having some good luck. So if you tried Fermentis before, this is your chance to retry it again, because we are in the thick of the beginnings of cider-making season. People are pressing apple juice now, especially if you're in those like perfect areas of the world where the apples are coming in. You're thinking cider-making and planning ahead. Now, originally, Fermentis had one type of cider yeast, and now they have a complement of four. And the first one I want to talk to you this week about is AB1, which stands for Apple Balanced. And this yeast is going to provide a balanced cider, because it's AB1, and it ensures a very good assimilation of fructose and is excellent for low-gravity ciders, which is just perfect for, well, this time of year. It is so hot out there. I just love a low gravity cider. I don't want to miss out. I want to have something with my corn on the cob or my seafood or, you know, a burger, a low gravity cider in the middle of the day. Why not at that picnic? I'm there. So AB1, that SAF cider, here's a couple more profiles on it. It's a delicate aromatic profile combining fresh and elaborate fruit notes with a balanced mouthfeel. That is key, right? It's always about the mouthfeel. I like a cider that kind of like draws a little bit out of the glass and says, keep on sipping. And that's what the AB1, I believe, does. I've had good luck with it. And it's suited for difficult fermentations too. So if you're kind of new to the game or you've been in it for a while, you know, make your life easy. You don't have to complicate it. Yeast is like the backbone of every cider, but don't complicate it. Try the SAF cider from Fermentis. Get more info at fermentis.com. Alrighty, I want to get to the cider and cheese of this Cider Chat Live, which is kind of the feature reason why I have you here, and that is to hear from Elizabeth Ryan, who has put together an amazing event coming up next week on July 28th and the 30th. And that is New York Apple Camp. It's going to be taking place in the Hudson River Valley area of New York. So that's a little north of New York City. And essentially, the site is called the Ashokan Center, which has a whole long history of cool music and is right on a reservoir. It's actually a little south of Woodstock, New York, which is famous for Woodstock, the concert itself. There is a museum there. I believe it's open to the public. I haven't been there. I'm going to go this time around and check out Woodstock while I'm in the area. But what I'm bringing to you live right now is a conversation with Elizabeth. They have just put up the schedule, and I want you to know about it because I know that they started this process late, and it's just such a glorious event. I'm so excited to kind of be in this. I mean, it has been difficult times. We had the rain in the Northeast definitely affected Upper New York State and the rest of the Northeast. Significant impact in Vermont itself. Having just drove through that area and just to see the devastation on the news. I mean, yes, people are strong, people are resilient, but dang, we need some good news. And this is what New York Apple Camp is all about. So I'm going to roll next to a conversation with Elizabeth. She told me she pulled off safely on the side of the road because she's always driving about. You know, these cider makers, they are working it. They are both producers and farmers. And for her, she has a number of different farms that she is managing, a number of people that she is employing, and has just done so much for this region. In addition to being an encyclopedia in her own right on the history of the Hudson River, the wine scene there, and the apple scene there. So I can't say enough about her. We're going to roll next to this conversation with Elizabeth to bring you up to date in real time on this Cider Chat Live all about New York Apple Camp. All right, I have Elizabeth Ryan on the line here, telling us all about New York Apple Camp. I know there's a lot going on. You have the schedule up, and there's still more speakers to be added, but let's bring listeners out there in Ciderville up to date. Let's first start with what is happening on Friday, a tour. That sounds really exciting.
Well, you know, the Hudson River Valley was the home of one of the noted horticulturists of the 19th century, Andrew Jackson Downing. And Andrew Jackson Downing had a massive nursery in Newburgh, New York. He was a landscape architect and a nurseryman of great renown with his brother Charles Downing. And he wrote The Fruits and Fruit Trees of America, which was kind of the Bible for fruit growers in the 19th century. It went into many editions.
He's from that region of New York, and what are we going to be doing on this tour? Because you know that I'm going on it too, of course.
You bet. So he was very influential. People still are trying to track down some of his original plant material. So we're going to be visiting the site of his original nursery. And then we are going to Downing Park. And then we are going to actually lay flowers on his grave at special request of some of the people with our group. Then we are going to have lunch in Milton, New York, overlooking the Hudson. And then we are going up to Esopus, where the famed Esopus Spitzenberg is from. And you see this juxtaposition of these very old farms, important nursery sites in the Hudson Valley, but also with all the growth and development and gentrification and tear down. So this is a chance to really pay homage and look at a kind of very important forgotten piece of apple history.
I love the idea of laying the flowers. That's really cool. Checking out these different local sites. And I'm seeing that we're going to have Dan Boosey, which you are listed as a god of pomology. I love that title. I'm not sure how he thinks about it, but you know, he's a humble guy.
You know, yeah, I mean, there may be a few other people in the pantheon, but certainly he wrote the book and he authored that massive I call it an encyclopedia of apples, mm-hmm. where he took every single apple he could find, American apples, and all the documentation and all the old watercolors and plates, and put it together in this set. It's kind of a must have, and he's in the middle of revising it. And interestingly enough, he said to me, he's like, I've never been to the Hudson Valley. I really want to go to the site of Downing's nursery. So that's the kind of status that Downing, you know, still has. And without getting ahead of ourselves, I'll tell you, we're meeting four or five local experts that day who have been researching in pretty minute detail the A.J. Downing and Charles Downing story. And so anyway, and then Friday night, we're going to meet.
Wait. Let me just slow you down just a little minute here. So, because this is like so much happening. So again, this is going to be Friday, July 28th. And that's going to be a tour that begins in the morning and runs around 10 to 3 p.m. before the actual New York Apple Camp takes place. So if you
want. Correct. And we're going to have a 2-hour lunch break. We're asking for a $30 contribution. Lunch will be provided. And it's a really preliminary, you know, to set the stage for kind of what is some of this history in the Hudson Valley before we talk about the new kind of pomology that's emerging in the Northeast.
I mean, just remarkable. And anyone out there in Siderville, whether you are U.S.-based or international or up in Canada, you know, this is like a classic story of the Apple with A.J. Downing. Really remarkable. And then, of course, Dan being there. He's coming in from Wisconsin, bringing those books, his encyclopedias, which are the illustrated guide to American and Canadian apples. It's like a compilation of books. Just he's like the modern day kind of A.J. Downing in a way on what he's doing.
He is.
You know?
He is. Really so remarkable. It's a very fitting. And then, of course, we have so many other people, Dan Pucci and John Bunker. And
well, let's talk about what they're going to be doing. Yeah. So we have Dan Pucci. We have Dan Bunker. So that's the morning of Friday. Come early for that. And then you check in at the Ashokan Center, which is just a glorious, glorious center. We could talk hours about that. Then there's going to be a dinner, a toast with yourself, Elizabeth Ryan, and the John Bunker coming down from Maine. What can we say about John Bunker?
What can we not say? I mean, he is Yoda. He is, he has inspired me in my entire life. So decades ago. Yeah. He was really, to me, one of the first people, founder of FEGCO, the Maine Heritage Orchard, MAFGA, and Maine has been this amazing, almost Garden of Eden, where people have been gathering and talking about historic apples. He's written 2 or 3 books. He's a documentarian. He is a eloquent speaker. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, he's one of the kind of fathers of this movement. Mm-hmm. And John founded Apple Camp. So first Apple Camp 4 years ago, people from all over the country got in their cars. Mm-hmm. I was one of them. And I drove to Maine to this wonderful little camp that didn't even have, electricity in the bunks. and it was like a who's who of all the Apple researchers in the country just gathered in Maine drinking hard cider and exchanging information. A lot of West Coast people. Last year wasn't quite as, there wasn't so many people from the West Coast. It was a great gathering of East Coast people. And John has spearheaded this. And I think you know, because I think you were there.
I was.
Last year, John said, you New York people ought to do something like this. You ought to get this together and do something in New York. And a few of us took up the mantle. I have a little not-for-profit that I started in the 80s, the Hudson Valley Center for Food, Culture, and Agriculture. And I had 3 grants from New York State Council for the Arts. That's what got me interested in this. I am a full-time fruit grower and cider maker, but I started doing oral histories in the Hudson Valley and going to the local historical societies, and I thought that we would discover some great treasure trove, but it was a big, untold, sort of forgotten story. So it's so important for all of us to hold this sense of place.
That is so sure. Yeah, definitely. Especially with everything that's going on, this is like just a ray of hope in the middle of what has been a pretty crazy summer for the Northeast. with rain and the early frost. So let's go back to the schedule here a little bit to fill folks in. So John Bunker and Elizabeth are going to be doing the toast and welcome. Then there's going to be a cider social with live music. So bring your favorite cider to share. And then on Saturday kicks off a whole bunch of different workshops. We have one on, well, that's being moderated by Maria Kennedy. And there's, you know, we have William, known as the Palm Queen, Melissa Madden of Open Spaces.
And I think that's going to be a very robust panel. Maria is, of course, by training a folklorist, but deeply, deeply involved in the cider movement, working on a big project with Cornell on foraged fruit and foraged ciders. So you know, that panel and Melissa Madden from Open Space Ciders, very fascinating, posed kind of throughout the question of, well, how do you fit into this? The theme of that panel is, if you aren't a grower, you don't own land, like, how do you fit into this landscape? Mm-hmm. And I think it's partly a little bit about making space for all the other people in various ways, including, you know, land is very, very expensive. Sure. And getting land and getting farms and all that is not a very easy thing to do for a lot of people. Yeah. And then we have all these incredible historic caying orchards all over the Hudson Valley and the Northeast, because mm-hmm. everybody grew apples, mm-hmm. period, you know, in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a big distribution system, and people, you know, you had to grow your own, literally.
Yeah, really exciting. So we won't go through every single workshop here, but I do want to just talk about the workshop titled with Todd Little Siebold. He's from the College of the Atlantic up in Maine. Well, what can we tell about that workshop without giving away too much here? For those folks coming?
Well, he's been researching for 8 years the French Connection, I guess you could call it, the origins of apples. And there's a story we tell a lot where we're looking down in the Hudson Valley at England and Holland as sort of part of the origin story. But the origin story is very different up there. And I'm not going to say any more, because uh-huh. I don't want to steal his thunder.
Yeah.
But I will tell you, I have a degree in pomology, and some of the things he shared with me in the process of getting ready for this were jaw-dropping to me.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
From, you know, revelatory. All and right. I want to make sure that we talk a little bit about two of our other speakers. Bill sure. McKentley is another legendary character. He owned and is still involved with the St. Lawrence Nursery up in Potsdam. And in the 30s, it's a 100-year-old nursery. When there was a test winter in New York, the nurseryman there went all through New England gathering things that had survived. And so we're in a moment here, obviously, of climate change and climate extremes. And we're in the Hudson Valley. Many, many people have lost their crops. We're experiencing, you know, all of it extremes, and it's going to continue. And so how do we navigate that as growers? How do we find resilient plant material? How do we diversify? And I think it's not just a story about apples, but agroforestry and the many other things. I believe that Eliza Greenman is going to be talking about mulberries, among other things, her quest for the Downing mulberry. Matt Kaminsky, who's been foraging and writing for, you know, a long time, is going to be talking about the new kind of paradigm, the new Pomona, the new way of thinking about this stuff. Mm-hmm. One of the great joys I had putting this thing together was calling people and sort of saying to them, what do you want to talk about? And this flood of thoughts and information, we got to where we were literally saying to people, can we just turn the tape recorder on? Because we have somehow just tapped into this great movement and vein of information. And it's partly pomological. And then Dan Pucci is doing a wonderful curated How to Taste Cider panel in the evening, and another mm-hmm. big cider session. We want to make sure that there's some recreation mm-hmm. built into this. The Ashokan campus is on the Ashokan Reservoir. It's very old. It's very beautiful. It's Jay and Molly and Ruthie Unger who run it, and they have many fiddle and dance camps. It's kind of a remarkable resource here in the Hudson Valley. So we were very lucky to grab it on the absolute only date they had free all year.
Incredible.
One more thing.
Sure, please.
So it's $300 to come. That's 5 meals and 2 overnights, but no one will be turned away. It's pay what you can, and you can pop in and out. And we are especially reaching out to some of the local folks here and asking that you know, it's like, come and join us for the cider share, or come and hit one session. I know some Cornell folks, the head of extension, the head of the lab. I think we have some growers. It's a very busy time for growers, but we don't want people to feel that either the price or maybe they can't come to the hall thing is a barrier. Because we have an extraordinary gathering of leading thinkers and practitioners.
You know, your generosity is always so abundant, and we know where your heart is. So, Elizabeth, thank you for doing this. I can't wait to see you at New York Apple Camp.
Thanks, Rhea. And the amazing Rhea Wingcaller, of course, will be taping and documenting all of this. And we are very grateful to you, Rhea, because you keep amplifying the message in such a charming way.
Well, thank you. And I am just thrilled to be there with my little jug of cider. So we'll see everybody at Apple Camp, and I'll be seeing you soon. All right.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks. Have a great
day.
Bye-bye. All right. Once again, New York Apple Camp's taking place July 28th through the 30th. I hope to see you there. To find out more info, in your browser, put Hudson Valley Center for Food, Arts, and Ag. It's a .org. So it's HV Center for Food, Arts, and Ag. And that is a nonprofit that she founded so many years ago. And that's where New York Apple Camp will come up. Or you just put in the browser, your search engine, and ask for New York Apple Camp, and the Eventbrite will come up there. That's a little ticketing agency that helps you get in on this. Check out the schedule. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I need something like this for the summer. It's been smoky from the fires happening up in Canada. It's raining once again outside. It's green for sure, but I have to say I haven't been out on my porch too much. But that's okay, because I have more good news from out and about from Ciderville for you. Stay tuned. Coming up in a whole bunch of episodes, I'm going to be focusing in on one particular state and talking about both the landscape, the foods, the sites, the culture, and the ciders. Are you ready? You're going to be kind of surprised, because I don't think you're going to be typically thinking that this is a state that I would associate with ciders. But, oh, you are in for a treat. So imagine with me a getaway where you are experiencing both the great outdoors and exquisite flavors. If you're with me so far, and I know you are, then join me with a trip on discovering Idaho. Yes, Idaho. It's not just about potatoes. Make this state your next cider destination. I mean, check it out. We're going to begin our journey at the top in northern Idaho's Panhandle region. It's just, you know, right on the border of Canada. So you are in some amazing country. The Panhandle itself is only 50 miles wide, with Montana to the east and Washington State to the west. Most apple trees can grow in zones 4 through 8, with some varieties hardy down to zone 3 and others tolerant up to zone 9. This area is in zones 5 through 6. Now let me just give you an idea of the region itself. The highest point in northern Idaho is found in the Selkirk Mountains, and that is known as Chimney Rock. Chimney Rock is the highest point, and it is considered a truly awe-inspiring sight that appears more like a sentinel from a fantasy realm than a simple geological formation. Google Chimney Rock, Idaho, because there's other ones out there. Make sure you put in Idaho just to see what it looks like. It's super cool. It's at approximately 7,700 feet or so, which is 2,300 meters. And it's the highest point in this mountain range known as the Selkirk Mountains. The column itself is all granite, and that alone is 380 feet tall. It's definitely a popular destination for climbers. But I don't know about you, but my climbing days are over. So I'm going to just tell my overachieving friends that I'm hiking out to the rock. But instead, I'm going to beeline it to the Summit Cider, which is based at Laughing Dog Brewery. This area is known for a variety of foods, such as huckleberries, trout, morel mushrooms, game meats, craft beer, of course, potatoes, and definitely cider. So on this little road trip that we're taking, you know, we got our little camper or we have our little efficiency unit and we're going to grab all this stuff, grab some local cider and make ourselves a meal to talk about, right? I could just taste it right now. Idaho has a really diverse topography and climates and offers an incredible range of experiences, landscapes, and Idaho ciders. From the forests of the north to the plains of the south, Idaho cideries capture the essence of their surroundings in every bottle. In the next episode of Cider Chat, we're going to explore the cider options surrounding the town of Coeur d'Alene. But in the meanwhile, you can find all the local cider makers listed in Idaho at the Northwest Cider Association website. Just go to nwcider.com/maps. And I'll see you in Idaho raising a glass of cider. Now, I know you're busy and you're probably already thinking about what's going on right down the road in front of you, but don't forget, time is running out for the New York Apple Camp, so get your tickets today. I want to see you there and raise a glass. Once again, this is Rhea Wincaller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Yeehaw!